So, I hadn't rehearsed this, but I thought it might be important to start by reminding us that it was just a few days ago that the University of Virginia won the national championship game. In case people had forgotten, because I know it's been a few days, and you know, they say for a pastor that like Christmas and Easter are really good times. They are. So is a national championship. So we're in the sixth week of this sermon series we've been in called Reckless Love, where we've been focusing on and paying attention to Jesus' love and the way that he loved other people and learning from that commandment that Jesus gives us, which is to love God with all of who you are and love your neighbor as yourself. And we started the first week and we said, really basic, just begin with love. Like, wake up each day and say, I'm going to begin today with love. Each conversation, begin with love. And then we moved on and we talked about how we need to expand our circle because we really don't know how to love until we meet new people and engage people who are different from us. And then we went on and said we have to understand that God's love is this lavish love. And then we talked about being more open-hearted. And last week I talked about valuing the vulnerable. And if you missed any of that, I would encourage you, they're all the videos are online. You can go back and watch them because this really has been a building series, a time to understand and learn more about the reckless love of Jesus. Now, I remember when I was in seminary. Seminary is that school that you go to if you want to be a pastor. And I was in seminary, and it was my second semester, my second New Testament class that I took. And I had this professor who really was a brilliant scholar, but she wasn't always the kindest when people would say things. So a young woman, it was her first day in our class, second semester, first class she had ever taken in seminary. And the professor says something, and she raises her hand, and she said, I've heard that we shouldn't focus on WWJD. And if you know what that is, that was something that was really big around the time of 2000. What would Jesus do? Right? People had the bracelets. It was a big fad. All these people were doing it. And she said, I've heard that we shouldn't focus on WWJD because that lets us off the hook. Right? Just what would Jesus do? Well, then we find out and then we walk away. She said, I think that we should be Jesus. Well, my New Testament professor had a little problem with that. She said there's actually only one Jesus. So the girl, by the way, never ever said anything else for the rest of the semester. But the professor goes, there's really only one Jesus. But then the professor said something really potent. She said it's not be Jesus, but it is be like Jesus. It's really important for us in our lives, she said, to be like Jesus, to take on the characteristics of Jesus, to take on the nature of Jesus. And it was a really important distinction for her. She said, because if we say be Jesus, then that lets us off the hook because none of us are Jesus. But if we say be like Jesus, it makes us do something. And it reminded me in Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, these people that he loves, the people of Philippi, he writes in the second chapter, and it's this hymn. It's often called the like Philippian hymn. And he writes in the beginning of this song, he says in verse 5, in your lives you must think and act like Jesus. It's the way that he starts off this whole section for them. In your lives you must think and act like Jesus. Other translations say your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Take on the nature of Jesus. Now that's really easy to say, right? Have the same thoughts and actions as Jesus. Every time you interact with someone, even if they drive you crazy, think and act like Jesus. Some would argue that this is an impossible task. I'm not Jesus. How am I to personify and take on the thoughts and the actions? I would argue that it's easy for us to look at the life of Jesus and just write off that we have to be like him. We're not Jesus, right? So why would we do that? But Paul says to the Philippians in the beginning of this, this is really, really important. Shift your mind to think the way that Jesus thinks, to care the way that Jesus cares, to focus on the things that Jesus focuses on. How do we get there? I think the only way for us to take on the mindset of Jesus is to spend more time with him. I think it's the only way for us to get to it. And I want to look at our scripture today from 1 John. We've been in this whole series in 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. It says, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So, we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God and hate their brothers and sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. This is a bit of a potent text this morning that John gives. Now, I'll remind you, if you've been here or if this is new to you, if you haven't been here, this text is written to a group of people who are thinking about splitting the church, the early church, and trying to figure out how do we stay together if we don't know that we can even believe in this guy Jesus and what Jesus did. And that's the problem in the early church. They've come from being many people who were Jewish and followed the Jewish tradition and have now started to take these steps along with Gentiles, non-Jews, to have conversations with others about the early church and about starting this thing to help other people know Jesus and experience Jesus. And he says to him, if you want to experience him, spend time with him. And when you spend time with him, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And when the Spirit comes upon you, you'll experience it more. You will sense the Spirit in you. He uses this word abide. That's not a word I use a lot. You might use that word a lot, but it's not a word I use a lot. And it comes from another word you might have heard, like an abode, right? A house. And what do you do in a house? You dwell in a house. You spend time in a house. And that's what he's saying. John is saying, spend time abiding or dwelling in and with Jesus. Spend so much time that you can take on this mindset. Growing up in my house, we had one of those old-fashioned, really big pieces of furniture that was a record player. Do any of you guys know what this is? Right. Half of you are like, heck no. The other half are like, yeah, we had three, right? These big pieces of furniture, and we had one. And on ours, especially on Sunday afternoons, but many evenings of the week, there were records playing. My dad loved to play records. And there was one artist that my dad was particularly fond of, and that is Elvis. My dad loved Elvis Presley. I mean, really loved Elvis Presley. In fact, Elvis had died before I was born, so I never got a chance to see Elvis. But one of the things that was really, really important to my dad was that we went to see Elvis impersonators. Last night, Susan was telling me that's not a normal thing that people do. But we went to see Elvis impersonators, and we did it quite frequently. You know, we would travel around, and we would find people, because if you can't see the real thing, why not see the next best thing, right? And you know a good Elvis impersonator versus a really bad Elvis impersonator, right? We would spend the summers at the beach at Ocean City, and there was a really bad Elvis impersonator that walked down with a boombox, right? Anyway, if you don't know what a boombox is, look it up online. That's music comes out of this thing that you carry. And we would watch this impersonator, and he was really bad, but we would go to these places, and you know, there'd be the ones that had it all, right? They'd have the lip, right? They'd have the swag, right? The big white bell-bottom pants, even the voice, right? Ain't nothing but a hound dog, right? They'd have it all. And you go, come on, y'all, that was good, right? They'd have it all. They'd have every bit of it. And you'd say, how in the world do they get this guy? They spent time with him. Right, they watched him. I can imagine them sitting down, either knowing him or watching video after video and watching, how far does the lip go up? Right? Where does it stop? How is the hair just right? The pants have to be just right. I mean, spending time with him. And actually, there are pieces of Elvis that in my childhood, I didn't ask for this, but that I picked up. Right? In watching him and in listening to the music. If we want to be like someone, we have to spend time with them. You know what they say the greatest form of flattery is? Somebody copying you, wanting to be like you. Friends, if we want to emulate Jesus, which is the topic of the day, we must spend time with him. How do we do that? I think there are lots of ways to do that. I'm going to give you very simple ways this morning. One, if you have a Bible, pick it up and read those first four books of the New Testament. Spend time reading those things we call Gospels. Find out what Jesus does. Spend time in those. Two, sit and be still and listen and see if maybe, just maybe, Jesus says something to you. Number three, come to worship. We have a tendency to talk about him here, right? Come to worship. Experience the conversation. Experience the stories. Learn from the nature of Jesus and what he cares about. Four, come receive communion. Right? If you've never done that before, come and receive, knowing that I deeply believe, we believe as a church, that Christ shows up in the midst of receiving communion. But whatever you do, it's going to take time set apart to learn, to take on the mindset, to grow. I mean, that's what the disciples spent 3 years doing. They weren't doing so much work as they were learning, as they were spending time with him, as they were growing, as they were finding, what would Jesus think in this instant? How would Jesus love this person? How do I respond? So once we spent time with Jesus, the next thing we do is we begin with incremental change. Those who try to fully become like Jesus in 24 hours are like people who think you can lose 20 pounds in a day, right? It just doesn't happen. We get this mindset about Jesus, maybe when we're new to Christianity, and we say, I want to be just like Jesus and I want to figure it out today. My experience is people who do that, it doesn't last long. It doesn't hang on. I remember when I started running, the very first day I went out to run, I ran a half a mile and I thought I would die. Like literally, I thought, this is the end. Susan's going to have to raise these children by herself. And then the next day I went out and I ran 0.6 miles. And the next day I ran 0.7. Until recently I was running with Terry, and she's like, 2 years ago, do you think you could have run this? And I was like, heck no, I couldn't have done this. But it's something that incrementally happened. Change happens incrementally. Friends, this is not a microwave concept. Emulating Jesus is not something that happens overnight. It's something that takes time. It's something that we have to, you know, let marinate in us, and we have to spend time with us. John Wesley had this term. He's the founder of this whole Methodist movement. He had this term called moving on towards perfection or sanctification. And what Wesley believed was that it was this combination based on this scripture here too that said the more time we spend with Jesus, the more time we're doing these things and the Holy Spirit comes and works with us, we move in our lives towards perfection. That's the text here with 1 John. He said moving towards perfection. Perfection doesn't happen overnight. Being like Jesus happens with incremental change over time. John challenges us to do this in this passage. Again, looking at verses 15 and 16. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe that the love that God has for us. God is love. Those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Spend time. Abide, and over time, that incremental change happens. It wasn't too long ago there was this advertisement that came out. And it was an ad by Gillette. Some of you guys may have seen it. And it was an ad for men. And I want to show you this ad this morning because I believe this ad is about incremental change. I'll tell you what happened to it afterwards, but I want to show you really briefly.
Bullying.
The Me Too movement against sexual harassment.
Toxic masculinity.
Is this the best a man can get? Is it? We can't hide from it.
Sexual harassment is taking over.
It's been going on far too long. We can't laugh it off.
Who's the daddy?
What I actually think she's trying to say.
Making the same old excuses.
Boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys.
But something finally changed.
Allegations regarding sexual assault and sexual harassment.
And there will be no going back. Because we We believe in the best in men.
Men need to hold other men accountable.
Smile, sweetie.
Come on.
To say the right thing. To act the right way.
Bro, not cool, not cool.
Some already are. In ways big.
Yo, men, for everyone.
And small.
I am strong.
I am strong.
But some is not enough.
It's not how we treat each other, okay? Okay.
Because the boys watching today will be the men of tomorrow.
So if you didn't see this ad was pulled pretty quickly after it went up. And it was pulled because all of these people made comments that this was stealing masculinity. Right? If it's calling men to something different, it's taking away masculinity. It's funny, I read these comments and I couldn't read many of them because I didn't feel great as I was reading them. But as I read these comments, I thought, wow, I got a completely different perspective from this ad. I heard this advertisement calling us to bring incremental change in our lives to lead to a different future, right? To bring incremental change that younger boys can see and can say, this is not the way it's supposed to be, that they can step up. And I didn't hear it calling us for everybody to drop everything you're doing and go and figure it all out. But the problem is when we see things like this, when we think that following Jesus is about completely changing overnight and figuring it all out, it is too painful. It's too painful and it's too overwhelming and it's too much. And we just say, all right, we're not doing any of it. And we rip it down. We say that we're not about change. But see, the problem with this is what we're called to. This is what we're supposed to do. John makes it pretty clear in this text. But think about the life of Jesus for just a moment. I think emulating Christ, yes, is about spending time with Jesus. Yes, it's about incremental change. But ultimately, it's that we take on these characteristics of Christ, the servanthood and the sacrifice. The Philippian text, after it opens up and it says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, then it goes on and it says, rather he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Spending time with Jesus, we come to understand this servanthood, the sacrifice that he made. On many of your chairs this morning, and there's extras around if you didn't get one, there's one of these little palm crosses. This is a reminder of that week of Holy Week where Jesus comes in. And it's this triumphant entry, and people are really excited he's coming. And on Friday, his life is ended on a cross. So the palm branches that are waving on Sunday, on Friday, his life is ended on a cross. And I want to invite you to take this home with you to remind you of servanthood and sacrifice, but to remind you also that you are deeply, deeply loved. You are loved. It's a beautiful thing, friends, to be reminded that you are loved. It's a beautiful thing to think about how we can step out and emulate Christ and be more like Christ. NPR did this story recently where they studied people's obits. And they studied 2,000 different people's obits. And do you know what word showed up in almost every one of them? It was the only thing that came out. The word was help. These were people who helped other people. Right, servanthood and sacrifice is about helping others, not taking care of me. That's the call that Jesus has based on Jesus' life. It's the call that John is giving us this morning. It's a call to love others. Verses 19 to 21, we love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. And that is a strong word, isn't it? Are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. Y'all, this is a commandment. It's something that Jesus gives us too. Love God with all of who you are and love your neighbor as yourself. But understand there's a piece in the background there that we have to grasp too. And that's that before we ever love God or love anyone else, we are beloved people. We are loved by God. Our primary identity should come in that fact that we are loved by God. So I want to invite you this morning. You have a heart on your seat, hopefully, a little paper heart. And I'm going to invite you to write probably more than you've written any other week if you've been here on this heart. I want to invite you first to write your name if you are willing to do that. No one's going to see this. Write your name. And under that, I want you to write the phrase, be love. And this is a commitment and an encouragement that we are going to be love to other people. But then on the back, I want you to write something too. This is a lot of assignments, right? Your name, be love. And on the back, I want you to write, be loved. And before you come, if you're going to come and receive communion this morning, I want you to hold the side that says beloved in front of you. I want you to look at that. And I want to invite you, if you're somebody who has trouble believing that, to think just for a moment that God is saying that to you. You are beloved. No matter what your story is, no matter where you are on your journey, you are beloved. Friends, I think if we want to become people who emulate Christ, we got to believe that. We got to believe that we're beloved first. And then we can go out and love others.